Well, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Bible Prophecy for Today. My name is Heather, and this part of the podcast, we are reading through the Bible chronologically using the one-year chronological Bible, New Living Translation, large print, of course. Guys, I'm so thankful y'all can join me today, and I hope this is a blessing to you as much as it's been a blessing to me. I recorded this yesterday and I uploaded it and somehow it was deleted. I searched everywhere trying to find the reading for today and it's gone. It was gone. And so we're going to redo today's reading. So we are in, once again, April the 11th. And it was an exciting one too. It's Saul meets Samuel. And so we're in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 through 27. And this happened about 1050 BC. And so it says, getting exciting. And so we're going to go ahead and read that today. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this afternoon. And so far, not a whole lot of terrible, hard to pronounce words on this one. It has been a struggle for my Texan vocabulary, let me tell you. My enunciation. Okay, let's go ahead and jump into the Word of God this evening. So, there was a wealthy, influential man named Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Bechoroth, son of Apphia of the tribe of Benjamin. His son Saul was the most handsome man in Israel, head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. One day, Kish's donkey strayed away, and he told Saul, "Take a servant with you and go look for the donkeys." So Saul took one of the servants and traveled through the hill country of Ephraim, the land of Shalishah and the Shilim area, and the entire land of Benjamin, but they couldn't find the donkeys anywhere. Finally, they entered the region of Zuph, and Saul said to his servant, "Let's go home. By now, my father will be more worried about us than about the donkeys." But the servant said, "I've just thought of something. There is a man of God who lives here in this town. He is held in high honor by all the people because everything he says comes true. Let's go find him. Perhaps he can tell us which way to go." "But we don't have anything to offer him," Saul replied. "Even our food is gone. And we don't have a thing to give him." "Well," the servant said, "I have one small silver piece. We can at least offer it to the man of God and see what happens." In those days, if people wanted a message from God, they would say, "Let's go and ask the seer," for prophets used to be called seers. "All right," Saul agreed, "let's try it." So they started into town where the man of God lived. As they were climbing the hill to the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water. So Saul and his servant asked, "Is the seer here today?" "Yes," they replied, "stay right on this road. He is at the town gates. He has just arrived to take part in a public sacrifice up at the place of worship. Hurry and catch him before he goes up there to eat. The guests won't begin eating until he arrives to bless the food." So they entered the town, and as they passed through the gates, Samuel was coming out toward them to go up to the place of worship. Now the Lord had told Samuel the previous day, "About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him to be the leader of my people Israel. He will rescue them from the Philistines, for I have looked down on my people in mercy and have heard their cry." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, "That's the man I told you about. He will rule my people." Just then, Saul approached Samuel at the gateway and asked, "Can you please tell me where the seer's house is?" "I am the seer," Samuel replied. "Go up to the place of worship ahead of me. We will eat there together, and in the morning I will tell you what you want to know and send you on your way. And don't worry about those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found, and I am here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes." Saul replied, "But I am only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of all the families of that tribe. Why are you talking like this to me?" Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and placed them at the head of the table, honoring them above the 30 special guests. Samuel then instructed the cook to bring Saul the finest cut of meat, the piece that had been set aside for the guests of honor. So the cook brought in the meat and placed it before Saul. Go ahead and eat it, Samuel said. I was saving it for you even before I invited these others. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they came down from the place of worship and returned to town, Samuel took Saul up to the roof of the house and prepared a bed for him there. At daybreak the next morning, Samuel called to Saul, "Get up! It's time you were on your way." So Saul got ready, and he and Samuel left the house together. When they reached the edge of town, Samuel told Saul to send his servant on ahead. After the servant was gone, Samuel said, "Stay here, for I have received a special message for you from God." Samuel anoints Saul as king. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 through 8. The period of the judges came to a close when Saul became king of Israel. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, "I am doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be the ruler over Israel, his special possession. When you leave me today, you will see two men besides Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will tell you that the donkeys have been found and that your father has stopped worrying about them and is now worried about you. He is asking, 'Have you seen my son?' When you get to the Oak of Tabor, you will see three men coming towards you who are on their way to worship God at Bethel. One will be bringing three young goats, another will have three loaves of bread, and the third will be carrying a wineskin full of wine. They will greet you and offer you two of the loaves, which you are to accept. When you arrive at Gibeah of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is located, you will meet a band of prophets coming down from the place of worship. They will be playing a harp, tambourine, a flute, and a lyre, and they will be prophesying. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. After these signs take place, do what must be done, for God is with you. Then go down to Gilgal ahead of me. I will join you there to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. You must wait for 7 days until I arrive and give you further instructions." Samuel's signs are fulfilled. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9 through 16. As Saul turned and started to leave, God gave him a new heart, and all Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day. When Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, they saw a group of prophets coming toward them. Then the Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul, and he too began to prophesy. When those who knew Saul heard about it, they exclaimed, "What? Is even Saul a prophet? How did the son of Kish become a prophet?" And one of those standing there said, "Can anyone become a prophet no matter who his father is?" So that is the origin of the saying, "Is even Saul a prophet?" When Saul had finished prophesying, he went up to the place of worship. "Where have you been?" Saul's uncle asked him and his servant. "We were looking for the donkeys," Saul replied, "but we couldn't find them. So we went to Samuel to ask him where they were." "Oh, and what did he say?" his uncle asked. "He told us that the donkeys had already been found," Saul replied. But Saul didn't tell his uncle what Samuel said about the kingdom. Saul is acclaimed king. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 17 through 27, and this happened in 1050 BC. Later, Samuel called all the people of Israel to meet before the Lord at Mizpah. And he said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, has declared. I brought you from Egypt and rescued you from the Egyptians and from all the nations that were oppressing you. But though I have rescued you from your misery and distress, you have rejected your God today and have said, 'No, we want a king instead.' Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by tribes and clans." So Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel before the Lord, and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen by lot. Then he brought each family of the tribe of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of the Matrites was chosen. And finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, "Where is he?" And the Lord replied, "He is hiding among the baggage." So they found him and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above anyone else. Then Samuel said to all the people, "This is the man the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in all Israel is like him." And all the people shouted, "Long live the king!" Then Samuel told the people what the rights and duties of a king were. He wrote them down on a scroll and placed it before the Lord. Then Samuel sent the people home again. When Samuel returned to his home in Gibeah, a group of men whose hearts God had touched went with him. But there were some scoundrels who complained,
How can this man save us? And they scorned him and refused to bring him gifts. But Saul ignored them. Nahash, king of the Ammonites, had been grievously oppressing the people of Gad and Reuben, who lived east of the Jordan River. He gouged out the right eye of each of the Israelites living there, and he didn't allow anyone to come and rescue them. In fact, of all the Israelites east of the Jordan, there wasn't a single one whose right eye Nahash had not gouged out. But there were 7,000 men who had escaped from the Ammonites, and they had settled in Jabesh Gilead. Saul defeats the Ammonites. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 15. About a month later, King Nahash of Ammon led his army against the Israelite town of Jabesh Gilead. But all the citizens of Jabesh asked for peace. Make a treaty with us and we will be your servants, they pleaded. All right, Nahash said, but only on one condition. I will gouge out the right eye of every one of you as a disgrace to all Israel. Give us 7 days to send messengers throughout Israel, replied the elders of Jabesh. If no one comes to save us, we will agree to your terms. When the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the people about their plight, everyone broke into tears. Saul had been plowing a field with his oxen, and when he returned to town, he asked, "What's the matter? Why is everyone crying?" So they told him about the message from Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul, and he became very angry. He took two oxen and cut them in pieces and sent the messengers to carry them throughout Israel with this message. This is what will happen to the oxen of anyone who refuses to follow Saul and Samuel into battle. And the Lord made the people afraid of Saul's anger, and all of them came out together as one. When Saul mobilized them at Bezek, he found that there were 300,000 men from Israel and 30,000 men from Judah. So Saul sent the messengers back to Jabesh Gilead to say, "We will rescue you by noontime tomorrow." There was great joy throughout the town when that message arrived. The men of Jabesh then told their enemies, "Tomorrow we will come out to you, and you can do to us whatever you wish." But before dawn the next morning, Saul arrived, having divided his army into three detachments. He launched a surprise attack against the Ammonites and slaughtered them the whole morning. The remnant of their army was so badly scattered that no two of them were left together. Then the people exclaimed to Saul, "Now where are those men who said, 'Why should Saul rule over us? Bring them here and we will kill them.'" But Saul replied, "No one will be executed today, for today the Lord has rescued Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us all go to Gilgal to renew the kingdom." So they all went to Gilgal, and in a solemn ceremony before the Lord, they made Saul king. Then they offered peace offerings to the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites were filled with joy. Samuel's farewell address. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 through 25. Then Samuel addressed all Israel. "I have done as you ask and given you a king. Your king is now your leader. I stand here before you, an old gray-haired man, and my sons serve you. I have served as your leader from the time I was a boy to this very day. Now testify against me in the presence of the Lord and before his anointed one. Whose ox or donkeys have I stolen? Have I ever cheated any of you? Have I ever oppressed you? Have I ever taken a bribe and perverted justice? Tell me, and I will make right whatever I have done wrong." "No," they replied, "you have never cheated or oppressed us, and you have never taken even a single bribe." "The Lord and his anointed one are my witnesses today," Samuel declared, "that my hands are clean." "Yes, he is a witness," they replied. "It was the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron," Samuel continued. "He brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt. Now stand here quietly before the Lord as I remind you of all the great things the Lord has done for you and your ancestors." When the Israelites were in Egypt and cried out to the Lord, he sent Moses and Aaron to rescue them from Egypt and to bring them into this land. But the people soon forgot about the Lord their God, so he handed them over to Sisera, the commander of Hazor's army, and also to the Philistines and to the king of Moab, who fought against them. Then they cried to the Lord again and confessed, "We have sinned by turning away from the Lord and worshiping the images of Baal and Asherah. But we will worship you and you alone if you will rescue us from our enemies." Then the Lord sent Gideon, Bedan, Jephthah, and Samuel to save you, and you lived in safety. But when you were afraid of Nahash, the king of Ammon, you came to me and said that you wanted a king to reign over you. even though the Lord your God was already your king. All right, here is the king you have chosen. You asked for him, and the Lord has granted your request. Now, if you fear and worship the Lord and listen to his voice, and if you do not rebel against the Lord's commands, then both you and your king will show that you recognize the Lord as your God. But if you rebel against the Lord's commands and refuse to listen to him, then his hand will be as heavy upon you as it was upon your ancestors. Now stand here and see the great thing the Lord is about to do. You know that it does not rain at this time of the year during the wheat harvest. I will ask the Lord to send thunder and rain today. Then you will realize how wicked you have been in asking the Lord for a king. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people were terrified of the Lord and of Samuel. Pray to the Lord your God for us, or we will die, they all said to Samuel. For now we have added to our sins by asking for a king. Don't be afraid, Samuel reassured them. You have certainly done wrong, but make sure now that you worship the Lord with all your heart and don't turn your back on him. Don't go back to worshiping worthless idols that cannot help or rescue you. They are all totally useless. The Lord will not abandon his people because that would dishonor his great name. For it has pleased the Lord to make you his very own people. As for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you. And I will continue to teach you what is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and faithfully serve him. Think of all the wonderful things he has done for you. But if you continue to sin, you and your king will be swept away. Oh, guys, I tell you what, it is getting good. I hope you'll join me tomorrow, the good Lord willing, if we'll continue reading April the 12th. It'll be King Saul, and we'll be reading on Saul's family tree. And so we'll continue up there tomorrow, the good Lord willing. Sorry about that. I had a phone call come through, and I kind of stopped the recording. So anyway, with that, guys, get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into you. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And we've all sinned, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And there's nothing you or I can ever do to cover our sin, to do anything. There's nothing we can do. But God knew that, and he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and live a perfect sinless life. He was all God and all man. And he lived the perfect life that you and I never could, nobody could ever do. And he died on the cross, and he took our place on the cross. And he suffered the wrath of God in our place, when it should have been you and I on the cross. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And 30 days later, he ascended and he sits on the right hand of the throne of God. Praise God. Praise God for that. And so I'm just asking you today that if you haven't made that decision, that you would do that today. That you would confess and that you would ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Please save me, Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that if you ask the Lord Jesus to save you, he will save you. And you can be a brand new creature in Christ today. Today, right now, sitting on your couch eating Cheetos, you can be a brand new creature in Christ. And all your sins can be forgiven, and you don't have to drag those around with you anymore. And I pray that you'd make that decision today. And so with that, I thank you guys so much for listening. And may God bless each and every one of you. And may he continue to give us boldness in these end times to stand up for the truth, God's truth, and proclaim his gospel to a lost and dying world. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name.